But you're very, oh, there we are. You're very welcome. If you're joining us online, I didn't say much of great significance beforehand, but you're welcome as we gather to worship Jesus together. Here's Matthew and Ian Mullen, who climbed Slieve Donard. If you you can still give to Christian Aid, that was just the week before last, but still give if you want to by envelope or through the church. Very much welcome that for a really important cause. The second thing to say is just to be on the lookout for your annual review. Hopefully you've got one delivered already or picked one up. Just a handful more to come out to people. But just a fabulous annual review and a huge thanks to Chris Thompson, who did so much work. You never really see Chris because he's the other side of the camera, but Chris has done such fabulous work in putting this together. And it looks really well and reads really well from all the contributions. So we're very grateful for that. Do read and reflect on what was perhaps the strangest of years, but one in which God was at work among us. So hopefully you have a chance to read through and give thanks to God as you read the annual review there. Jack, I'm going to pass over to you to lead us in our worship.
Well, what a great and special day that we can gather together in person and online to worship our holy, holy, holy God on the day that God sent his Holy Spirit to this earth. Now, we're going to get some words up on the screen, and it's a call and response. There we go. So I'll read the words in bold, and you can follow along then the words that are not in bold. So, come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our lives inside and out. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew our faith, renew our trust in your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Challenge us, comfort us, stir us up, calm us down. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come to this place. Gather us in, send us out. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew the face of the earth. Let's stand and sing, Behold Our God.
Nations tremble at his voice.
Let us pray. Behold our God seated on his throne. What a wonderful sight. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand but our Lord? Who has felt the nails upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of us? Lord, we cry out in praise to you now, thanking you for all the good and challenging things in our lives. We praise your name for our salvation, that we can know the living God, to have a personal relationship with him, growing in faith and wisdom, seeking to be more Christ-like. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son that you sent to perform wonders and miracles on this earth, that we can read about him. And we also bow down to you now, Christ, for your sacrifice, dying on the cross, and 3 days later rising again, defeating death and giving us eternal life with you in heaven. God, thank you for your amazing creation. The birds that sing, the flowers that blossom. However, Lord, we are sorry. Sorry for our sinful nature, how we can be evil to this earth, to your beautiful creation. Lord, forgive the sins of our hearts and our minds, and let us forgive those who have sinned against us. Jesus, we bring before you now those sins that hinder us in our journey with you. We thank you, Lord, for forgiving our sins. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We are going to be reading today from Acts 1, 1 to 11, and the reading's going to be taken from a wee video from Kathleen.
The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." Amen.
Gather by singing, "His mercy is more."
welcome. Welcome, especially if this is the first time you've been back in the building since lockdown. Lovely to see you. Now, Johnny and I are going to tell you a story this morning, and it would be really useful if Johnny were here, but I can't quite see him. Now, it was Johnny's birthday on Tuesday. Johnny was 40. There has been so much cake. There's cake in there, there's cake in the kitchen, there's cake everywhere. He is probably lying in a sugar-filled stupor somewhere. Oh, or there he is. Johnny, hi.
Dinger had a farm. Hiya, Jill. Hiya, Jill. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. What? You've gone all Monty Don on us. What?
Oh, well, Jill, as you know, had a birthday this week. I've reached that age where gardening has become, you know, more appealing. So I spoke to my friend Neil McKnight. He lent me some of his gear here. I just thought I would get involved. The community garden's now happening out there. I thought I could come and play my part.
Johnny,
what do you think?
We would love you to come play your part. Yeah, go plant something. In fact, everybody can plant something. There's little squares you can plant things in. So, Johnny, so you're different.
Yeah.
Well, never seen you like that before.
Well, it's my new look. But also, Jill, where do you see what I have? Where do you see?
Okay.
You'll be impressed. You ready? You excited?
I'm not sure.
I'm ready. I can't quite sense your excitement. Look what I've got here. Look.
Oh, Johnny.
Look at this here.
Oh! Hair dryer?
Anyone out there got one of these? Anyone? Oh, Jack's got one. He's pretending he doesn't have one of those. He's too young. What do you see? What do you see the power? Do you see the power in this deal? Okay. You ready?
Johnny, that's amazing.
Sorry, hold on.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm forgetting something.
Try again.
Ah, I know what I'm forgetting. Got the hat on the wrong way. And I think what I really need is a better power stance, Jill, actually, you know, just to get this ready. You ready?
Okay, go for it. Johnny.
Oh.
Fabulous power stance, fabulous cap, but you're forgetting something. Pretty important. Look behind you.
Oh.
Plug it in.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
Let's see if that makes any difference. That's more like it.
Yes, Johnny, for all those leaf emergencies in May.
I know it can be pretty big deal in May.
Uh-huh.
Jill, I guess I was thinking, look, there was really quite a huge difference, wasn't there, between, you know, the power before this was plugged in and after. I mean, it really wasn't that useful before, but once it got some power, away we go. And Jill, I think that you've got a story for us today. It's a bit about people who didn't have some power before.
That's right.
And then did have some power after, but it wasn't electric power.
No.
It was God's power, right?
It was. I will tell the story, Johnny, if you promise to put that down. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I am going to talk about, I'm going to pull up my chair like in Jack and Ori style. And I'm going to read the story of Pentecost from the Jesus Storybook Bible. Now, it's for everyone. People sometimes think if we're reading from a children's book that it's not for adults. Sorry, I'm echoing. But it is. It's a fabulous book, and I was listening last week to a podcast. Okay. Now, in this podcast, there was an expert who was talking about a subject, and she was being interviewed. And the expert started speaking, and that was great. And after about a minute, the interviewer said, "Please stop. Tell it to me like I'm 5. And I thought, that I can do, that really is helpful. Because if I'm speaking to a 5-year-old, I need to know what I'm talking about. I need to speak clearly in clear language. I need to stick to the important points. And I need to explain to the child what it means for them. And I think that is exactly what this is all Gospels. So let's listen together to the Jesus Storybook Bible, the version of Day of Pentecost. And it's called God Sends Help. Glasses required. Jesus' friends and helpers huddled together in a stuffy upstairs room. Even though it was sunny outside, the shutters were closed, the door was locked. Wait in Jerusalem, Jesus had told them. I am going to send you a special present. God's power is going to come into you. God's Holy Spirit is coming. So here they were, waiting. Actually, mostly what they were doing was just being scared and hiding. You can't blame them. Their best friend had left. The important people and leaders were after them. And Jesus had given them a job that they didn't know how to do. As they waited, they were praying and remembering. Remembering how, from the beginning, God had been working out his secret rescue plan. Suddenly, a strong wind filled the little room, whistling through the walls, rustling the straw on the floor, and there on everyone's heads, shining in the gloom, were flickering flames. Fire that didn't hurt or burn. And what was more, inside in their hearts, they felt a strange heat, almost as if all the coldness and hardness were melting away. As if their broken hearts were mending. And God was giving them brand new hearts. Hearts that could work properly. How it happened, they did not know. But they knew God's power had struck their hearts ablaze. And Jesus himself was coming to live in them. They had seen Jesus go away. But now, he was closer than he had ever been. Inside their hearts. And this time, nothing could ever separate them. Jesus would always be there with them, loving them, whispering the promise that would get rid of the poison and the terrible lie and the sickness in their hearts. God's wonderful promise to them, you are my child and I love you. Make your home in me as I make my home in you. Jesus had said. Could it be? Heaven was coming into their hearts. They threw open the shutters. Sunlight flooded their room as love had flooded their hearts. And the little room was filled with happy noises, dancing feet, singing and laughing. They unlocked the door and surged out into the streets as if they had never been afraid. Peter spoke in a loud voice so everyone could hear. Jesus died for you, he said, because he loves you. But God made him alive again. He has rescued you. People stopped and listened. The words sank down deep into their hearts and worked like a medicine that makes you well. Like the antidote to a deadly poison. Like a kiss that wakens you from sleep. Stop running away from God, Peter said. Run to him instead, so he can love you and set you free. And Peter told them the wonderful story of God's love. God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. How Jesus had come and all that had happened. There were lots of people from faraway countries in Jerusalem. They couldn't speak the same language, but as they listened to Peter, everyone could understand what he was saying in their own languages. Many people believed and became Jesus' new friends and helpers, and the wonderful news of Jesus spread like sparks from a fire. to villages, to towns, to cities. Every day, more and more people believed. And so it was that the family of God's children, his special people, grew and grew.
Wow, Jill, that is an incredible story. The story of Pentecost, the day when God's Spirit came and made his home in us, not just with us, but in us. How awesome that we can have this close relationship with God and also get involved in his work in the world.
It was amazing. Those people, they went from being terrified and huddling in a darkened room to flinging open the doors and proclaiming the good news. Complete change.
Yeah, I remember hearing about Peter, and just before Jesus died, he said he didn't even know Jesus. 1, 2, 3 times he said, I don't know this guy. But after he received the Holy Spirit, he's telling people from all over the world about Jesus. That's really some change. So I suppose we should ask, well, what does that maybe mean for us today? Does the Holy Spirit, can he make us brave like he did with Peter to talk about Jesus to our friends, our families, our work colleagues?
Yes, Johnny, of course. We're standing here. And no matter what age you are, you can still tell people about Jesus. Even if you're in nursery or you're in primary school, you can still tell them that God loves them. You can perhaps tell them about what you learn in Sunday picnic or in the ark. And you can surprise people by how kind you are to them. The way God treats us. God loves us and is kind to us. And he wants us to treat other people in the same way so that we can then share about Jesus' love. So no matter what age you are, you can tell people about the fabulous good news of Jesus. And do you think it might be relevant to other ages, Johnny?
Yeah, well, I'm certainly thinking about young people and thinking they're in a fantastic place to make a huge difference. I mean, I remember as a teenager that it was friends of mine who invited me along to a youth group like Red that helped me understand more about Jesus. And I changed from being the person who was slabbering at the boys going into the SU group to the one who was actually going there myself to find out more about Jesus. Maybe you could invite folks along to a group like Red or Vibe. Or maybe for young people, or not so young as well, we think about our social media, and we spend so much time on there. Maybe there's a Bible verse that we could post, or an inspiring story that could help point our friends to Jesus. Or maybe even it's just a case of young people asking if their friends want to know about how they became a Christian. I know in our Exodus team, Jill, we've been preparing our stories of hope at the minute, helping each other find those right words to talk about Jesus.
That's great, Johnny. What about in the workplace for younger adults or people who are working? Well, how could they share Jesus?
Well, I certainly think that to capitalize on the conversations that we can have at lunchtime, certainly whenever we're able to be together. I was really encouraged by the example of John Timothy whenever he worked in shorts a number of years ago. I had the chance to interview John, and this is a wee bit of what he said. I just find this so encouraging. He said this, as I went into work in the mornings, I used to pray for opportunities to share the gospel in some form or another with those around me. God would answer those prayers on a regular basis, so much so that if I was tired or didn't feel up to it that day, I'd be hesitant to pray at all. Never did I think that one day one of my colleagues and friends, in recognition of his own and the team's sin in their lives, would ask me to read a Bible verse one week at tea break. That single opportunity snowballed into a short talk on a passage or topic every Friday for 2 years. Now, I know John found it challenging and nerve-wracking, but actually it was incredible to see how God's Spirit was at work in him to share Jesus. Any other examples, Jill, that you have with other folks?
Yes, John was very brave, wasn't he? That was very exciting. I think about older adults, sometimes the most beautiful thing to see is a whole life lived in the presence of God. And it reminded me, I was thinking recently about D.L. Moody, who was an American evangelist in the 1800s. And I find this, and it said, "It was said of him that he prayed daily for 100 of his friends and family to come to faith in Jesus. 100. During his life, 96 of those people came to faith, and at his funeral, the remaining 4 gave their lives to Jesus." What an amazing example of an older person who loved God, who loved people, and who believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. I love that.
So I guess what we're trying to say very simply today is that God's Holy Spirit is a gift to everybody who trusts in Jesus, no matter what age, no matter what stage of life you're at. And like Peter, God will give us power to share and to show the love of Jesus today in our everyday, ordinary situations. God's Spirit will make us brave to speak up about Jesus, and we can expect him to be at work in drawing people into his kingdom.
Thank you, Johnny. Normally at this time, we have our prayers for others. And today we do, but we're going to do it slightly differently. Each of you should have a little flame on your seat and a pen. Now, if you would like, there's going to be a, there we are, on the screen that says, "Father, help me to be brave in talking about Jesus to," and then you fill in the blank. You could write the initials of somebody, or the name of somebody, or perhaps a group of people like your work colleagues or your neighbors. But what we're saying is, really, God, these are people who I love and who you love and who don't yet know Jesus. I'm bringing them to your attention. Please transform their lives. So if you would like to do that and be part of that, you're very welcome. And Johnny will come and pick up your little flames in a couple of minutes. And then we will put your prayers, your flames, up on the back here. So have a think, see who comes to mind, and if you'd like to write it on your flame, then do that. And we'll listen to some music as that happens.
Thank you.
who have loved us first. And Father, we bring to your attention the names that we have put up in these prayers in this place, and we ask it in your power and in your love and your compassion that you would draw
God
and they would learn to see you for who you are. They would learn to love you, that they would give in to you, they would change their lives, and that your Holy Spirit would utterly transform them and bring them into the kingdom of God. We name these people, people who we love and for whom our hearts break because they do not yet know you. And give us power, give us courage by your Holy Spirit to speak to these people this week and to keep on speaking and to keep on praying. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've brought us into a relationship with you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our closing hymn of praise is also a prayer for us. Sometimes we think of it as a kid song, but it's more than that. It's a prayer for all of us. We're going to stand and sing Shine together. Jill and I are going to try and model the actions. Have to say, the half nine service were amazing at the actions. I'm sure we will be just as good. Let's stand and worship God together.
A big thank you to Jack and Johnny and Jill and the band and Kathleen and the guys at the back and those who have led us in our worship this morning, and may it lead us by God's Spirit in us to shine from the inside out. Let's end by saying the grace to one another. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord turned.